We're reading Ephesians chapter 5. We're talking about our wise, our careful walk before the Lord that Paul in chapter 4, verse 1 calls our worthy walk. So let's read this passage that we've been in for several weeks now, beginning with verse 18. Paul says, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but instead be filled with the Spirit of God, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord." This is a long passage. We won't get through it today. It'll take us a while to work through it. We've spent several Sundays talking about what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to make a distinction this morning between being filled with the Holy Spirit and being filled by the Holy Spirit. This is a very important distinction to be made in this particular text. Paul has been talking and making a contrast for us. Positive and negative examples of what the Christian life is, way back beginning with chapter 4. He says, walk worthy. Paul says, I am the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Because of my worthy walk, because of the way I lived my life, I am now in prison because of Jesus Christ. And I beseech you, I encourage you, I beg you to follow my example as I imitate Jesus Christ in such a way you imitate me. And so this worthy walk, this walk that we're supposed to walk step by step following Jesus, it's something that is compared to a wise walk. Paul in verse 15 says circumspectly, and when we looked at that word from the Greek, we noted that it means walking carefully through a dangerous place, very much like a soldier on a battlefield walks through a field that has a lot of mines there. And at any moment, you can step on it and blow yourself up and the whole company of soldiers that are with you. And in the very same way, we are called as Christians for our walk to be circumspect, to be careful, so that not only bring danger to ourselves, but not bring danger to those that are around us. Paul says that the wise Christian puts a value on the time that God has given us. Here it says that we give thanks to God for everything, because God has created everything. Everything belongs to God. The gifts that we receive from God, we are to give a proper evaluation to them. And one of the most important commodities that God gives us that we cannot place a value on is our time. Time is very precious. We have 24 hours a day. Most of us live 60, 70, 80 years. We've had some birthdays here recently for some of our older members of the church that God has given them many years of life. And God says here through the Apostle Paul, we are to treat time with the proper evaluation. We're supposed to give it a value. It does not have a value. People in our society spend time as if they have a lot of it. But Paul says that the time that we live in is evil and it is short, especially for Christians. If we realize how short time is, if we realize how evil the days are that we live in, we will give it a proper value and live our life in a wise way, making optimum use of the time that God has given us. In addition to the money and the finances and the resources and the talents and all the things that God gives us, time is one of our most precious commodities. Paul uses the word redeem time here. You redeem something by paying a price for it. Redemption is different than a purchase. You cannot go and purchase your time, but you can redeem it. You can live it in such a way that it brings glory to God. And it's important that we realize that, because the time that we have been given by God is very short. Why has God given us a certain amount of time? So that our life lived to the glory of God would be used in a maximum effort, like Paul. Paul's life was lived at both ends. We say he burned a candle on both ends of the candle. He burned up for the Lord. The wise believer, the person that lives and walks to the glory of life of God in his life, he knows the will of God. You redeem the time, you live your time wisely, knowing through the Word of God, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit that we've been talking about in verse 18, that fills us, that influences us, that permeates our life, we come to know the will of the Lord. And then in obedience and submission, we fulfill the will of the Lord in our life. And this brings glory to God. And eventually, when God takes us home to be with Him, we will share in the glory of God. We will live in the presence and the glory of God. And that is the hope that we have, that every believer has. And a result of that, you purify yourself and you live a holy life. Paul's command here is be filled. And Paul makes a contrast to being filled with the Holy Spirit to being under the influence of an alcoholic beverage. You know, unfortunately, the world has taken this term, be spirit-filled, and uses it to sell alcohol. When you go to the store, what is the little sign above the alcoholic section? It says, spirits, does it not? We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, not with man-made liquid alcoholic beverages. But in both cases, whether we're talking about the Holy Spirit that fills our life, or we talk about something that we consume, we come under the influence of it. If you consume alcohol, you will be under the influence of alcohol. If you are filled with the Spirit of God, your life will be under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit, and it will be very visible. Scripture does not totally condemn the use of alcohol. Now listen to me very, very carefully. I'm not condoning the use of alcohol. And Scripture does not completely prohibit it. But Scripture gives us many, many serious and strict warnings about the use of alcohol and the abuse of alcohol. And you say, so what's the difference? We looked at Scripture. You remember Proverbs chapter 23 talks about the abuse of alcohol and the fact that it destructs the life of the person using it. Secondly, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, everything is lawful for me, but not everything is useful for me. And I can very easily make it a habit in my life that will not be good. And so anything that can become a bad habit in your life, Paul says, avoid it. Don't go near it. Thirdly, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 that we are never to do anything, never to live our life in such a way that it would cause a weaker brother in the Lord to sin. Paul uses the expression stumbling block. A lot of Christians have a misunderstanding about what it means to cause another Christian to stumble. What the word means, and in the Old Testament, God, through Moses, gave Israel a special law. It says, if there is a blind person in the community where you live, be very, very careful that you never put anything in the path where the blind man will go that would cause the blind man to stumble and fall. That was a very serious sin that was punishable by the person. Now, there were evil people sometimes that would go out and put something in the way where a blind man would be walking to cause him to stumble and fall. And that was intentional. And God prohibits that and He says, do not do that. And God tells us as Christians, do not do anything that would cause the brother or the sister that sits next to you to sin. Fourthly, don't ever do anything, including the use of alcohol, that will affect your testimony. We're here. The reason we're here is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. The fact that God can transform a sinner's life. He can take the sin in your life. He can change you. God changes us. Romans chapter 12, Paul says, let your mind, let your brain be transformed by the word of God. And in this transformation, your life, your lifestyle, your walk that we're called to walk will become conformed to the word of God. You ladies that make Jell-O, you know what a mold looks like. Or you bake cookies and you stamp out the little shape. Our grandkids like to bake cookies with grandma, and they like to take the dough and, punch out the shape. Okay? Never do anything that will affect your testimony before the world. We want our life to be an example to the people around us. And a last reason that Paul gives us to not use alcohol and not to abuse alcohol is if you have a conscience that bothers you, that's a clear indication from the Word of God and from the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday in Bible Hour in Romans 8, we looked at the fact that the Holy Spirit witnesses to our spirit and confirms that we are the children of God. And so if you have any doubt about some of the things that you are doing, if there's gray areas in your life, Scripture has no gray areas. With God, things are black and white. You either do as Scripture commands or you don't. You're either in fellowship with God or you're out of fellowship with God. You either live for Him wisely or you are unwise. Paul says, do not be unwise, but instead be smart, be wise, redeeming the time. And so, just like alcohol affects people and their life and their walk, being filled by the Holy Spirit affects our life, our speech, and our walk. We all know what a drunk person looks like when he's walking down the street. He stumbles and he falls. Can you look at your life? Can the person sitting next to you look at your life and tell that you're a Christian by the way you walk? The Holy Spirit in your life will influence you in such a way that you will live godly and wisely to the glory of God. Secondly, the person that's under the influence of alcohol, he is under the control of alcohol. The person that's under the control of the Holy Spirit, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, is what? It is self-control. You're in total control of yourself. We just heard a message from Hebrews about being in control and the things that God can chasten us with or discipline us with in our life. And sometimes people excuse these and say, oh, that's just a little sin. That's just a little white lie that I said. God has no little white lies. A lie is a lie, and there's no such thing as a whitewashed lie. All lies cause Jesus Christ to shed his blood on the cross and die. And so being filled with the Holy Spirit here, the term is in a continuous present tense. Be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. And the result, Paul says, is you will be, verse 19, speaking to each other. Now, we often think about music when we talk about this text. And we will begin next Sunday a short series on music that I've had on my heart for a long time. I want to talk to us about how we worship and how we praise God with music. And many people use this text and the text in Colossians chapter 3 about being filled with the Word of God to indicate that we are to praise God with our music. But notice this text, and let's look at it today, just at this one word. Paul says, the result of when you are filled by the Holy Spirit is you will speak to one another. Not sing to one another, not sing together to one another, but the result is that you will speak the words of God to each other. David in the Psalms often talks about the wonderful works of God. Peter on the day of Pentecost, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and all the other people there, as they preached and they proclaimed the wonderful deeds of God, all the people that were there, they heard it and they understood it in their own language, and they praised God for his wonderful deeds. And it was a result of the Holy Spirit filling the lips of those that were filled to speak the words of God. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4 writes about the spiritual gifts that we've been given by God. And he says, the gift that you received, use it to edify each other. The Russian uses, in verse 19, uses the word nazidaya, to edify, to build up. Remember in chapter 4, Paul says that pastors are given to the church to teach you, to build you up, to do what? To minister to one another. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We'll take a look at these terms next Sunday. But primarily, music is not used, as many people think, to prepare our heart to worship. Conversely, look at this verse this week and you will see that when your heart is filled with the word of God, then your lips will be full of praise, including music, in your heart to God. It's not something we do corporately. It's something we do individually in our hearts to God. And so may God bless this word as we consider it this week, and we'll return to this next text next Sunday, God willing. Amen.